사랍노티 하야두컴 아니하야 스카리다 스카야두 카목샤야 성카우바디 하카르미나 사랍노티 하야두컴 아니하야 스카리다 Sukhaya, for achieving happiness by a so-called higher standard of life. Dukha, mokshaya, for becoming free from misery. Sankalpaha, the determination. Iha, in this world. Karaminaha, of the living entity, trying for economic development. Sada, always. Apnoti, achieves. Ihaya, by activity or ambition. Dukham, only unhappiness. Anihaya, and from not desiring economic development. Sukha, by happiness. Avritaha, covered. Translation. In this world, every materialist desires to achieve happiness and diminish his distress, and therefore he acts accordingly. Actually, however, one is happy as long as one does not endeavor for happiness. As soon as one begins his activities for happiness, his condition of distress begins. Purport. Every conditioned soul is bound by the laws of material nature, as described in Bhagavad Gita. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvashaha. Everyone has achieved a certain type of body given by material nature, according to the instructions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ishwara sarvabhutanam hridesher junatishtati brahmayam sarvabhutani yantra rudhani mayaya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities, who are seated as on a machine made of material energy. Bhagavad Gita 18.61. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supersoul, is present in everyone's heart, and as the living entity desires, the Lord gives him facilities with which to work according to his ambitions in different grades of bodies. The body is just like an instrument by which the living entity moves according to false desires for happiness, and thus suffers the pains of birth, death, old age, and disease in different standards of life. Everyone begins his activities with some plan and ambition. But actually, from the beginning of one's plan to the end, one does not derive any happiness. On the contrary, as soon as one begins acting according to his plan, his life of distress immediately begins. Therefore, one should not be ambitious to dissipate the unhappy conditions of life, for one cannot do anything about them. Ahankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manyate. Although one is acting according to false ambitions, he thinks he can improve his material conditions by his activities. The Vedas enjoin that one should not try to increase happiness or decrease distress, for this is futile. Tasyaiva heto prayate ta kovidaha. One should work for self-realization, not for economic development, which is impossible to improve. Without endeavor, one can get the amount of happiness and distress for which he is destined, and one cannot change this. Therefore, it is better to use one's time for advancement in the spiritual life of Krishna consciousness. One should not waste his valuable time as a human being. It is better to utilize his life for developing Krishna consciousness without ambitions for so-called happiness. So the basic principle is that the living entity, being a person, having senses, wants to be happy. It's the nature of the living entity. But there's a process for being happy, right? Because our happiness is a drop of the unlimited happiness of Krishna. So the point is, nature of happiness has its method. Now, naturally, there are the forms of, and activities of this method, but it's not that gives you happiness. It's what's your goal, your intent of it, that gives you the happiness. Right? You do an activity, if you are interested in the result, then you consider that appropriate. But if you're doing exactly someone else is doing the same activity, but they don't want to do it, can it give them happiness? You understand? So we make a mistake thinking that the form that we use and the endeavor that we use, that is going to cause our happiness. This is totally our problem from every living entity in the universe. So that's why the Bhagavatam is talking in this way. Now we may feel, no, but what's wrong with being happy? What's wrong with just being, a little bit of relief from the distress, all these different things? Why does Bhagavatam always insist on giving up any endeavors for sense gratification? Because that's just not natural. Right? We may complain like this. But the whole point is following the forms and actions of happiness, and that's all, can never, ever, ever give us happiness. It's not possible. Right? It's not possible. Because the jiva, being happiness, has to follow those forms in connection with the unlimited happiness. How much happiness do you get out of 1/10,000 of the tip of the hair? Right? Add it up, how big is that? Right? Nanometers won't work. It's not going to give us anything. But when we're in touch with the unlimited aspect of the Lord, then we're happy. Right? That's what the Bhagavatam's saying. It's not saying give up the forms and actions that where the senses and the sense objects are connected. Bhagavatam doesn't say that. What it says is give up the endeavor for sense gratification. So how is this defined? Because we take it, if the senses are contacting the sense objects, that is sense gratification. No, it can be. Because the natural position is the senses and the sense objects are connected in connection with Krishna. You're trying to please Krishna. That's called bhakti. Now, if we don't want to do bhakti because we think we're the controller and enjoyer, then we drop off the Krishna part, we drop off the unlimited, and then with our 1/10,000th tip of the hair, Satchitananda, and remember, 1/1,000th tip of the hair is divided into 3, Sat, Chit, and Ananda. So 1/3 of 1/10,000th tip of the hair is all we got to work with. Right? Then we apply that on something. Okay, now the forms and activities we work with are way bigger than 1/10,000th tip of the hair. They're monstrous. Now you put 1/10,000th tip of the hair and 1/3 of that into that endeavor, how much are you going to get out of it? Nothing. But if you put in unlimited, something's there. So in other words, our enjoying the senses is a byproduct of actually appreciating the relationship with Krishna. Because we've taken that relationship isn't the important thing. Though inherently we need to function on that platform. But when we talk about sense gratification, it's not about the relationship. It's about the sense and the sense object. Relationship is the main thing. Within that, you enjoy the senses. Right? You can sit down and eat something. Okay, it's nice. But if you're eating with a friend, it's better. Why? Because the friendship part, the sense and the sense objects are the same. There's no more titillation on the tongue because someone else is sitting there. It's just you're appreciating the relationship. Right? So that's the whole point. As soon as you add Krishna into it, then that relationship, that's the real thing that causes happiness. Then the senses being engaged, that's just a side point. You know, like let's say you had a nice time with somebody, and then sometime in the future you happen to visit that spot, so you remember that relationship and the happiness that was there. So it's the relationship that's important. The activities are not. But since we're leaving Krishna out of it, what do we have left? Only the form and the activities. Because the actual intent is gone. We replace it with our own intent, I'll make myself happy. So with an incomplete formula, we try to get happiness. That's why then here, Paramahansa is saying, as long as you're not endeavoring to be happy on the material platform, then you'll be in a neutral state. And neutral is way better than misery. But as soon as you try to enjoy the senses separate from Krishna, immediately misery comes up because it's not possible. It's a total impossibility. You know, we'll find all that, what about this, what about that? No, it's just the senses are engaged, connected to Krishna, it works. Not connected, it won't. It's, the sooner we get this through our heads, the sooner we'll be actually happy. And the longer we doggedly hold on to this, that no, there's some way, then that just means birth after birth after birth after birth. It's that simple. But because we're so convinced I'm the controller and enjoyer, we don't want to let give up the opportunity. But as soon as we give up that and I'm servant of Krishna, it works like a charm. Because nothing changes, the form and the activity stay the same. You still put things in your mouth, chew it, and it goes over the tongue, and then you swallow it. Whether it's prasad, you're appreciating, connected to Krishna, whether you're just thinking about sense gratification, whether you're just eating carny food, it doesn't matter. The method is going to be the same. It doesn't change. You want to appreciate something, touch, you have to run your fingers over it. It's not that when you're a devotee, you don't do that. Or your eyes, they look, and then the reflection with the light and the combinations, and you see form, the colors, textures. So that's going to, it remains the same. Smells the same. Right? Nothing changes. It's just a matter of, do you include Krishna in it or not? You do it in a pure way, that's called pure devotional service. You include Krishna, but also that you're getting some benefit from it, that's mixed. And if you don't include Krishna at all, that's just sense gratification. So it's a very simple mechanical formula. And the shastras again and again, they take, oh no, but we're not being fanatic, you know, we have to, you know, just, you know, give a little space, a little this and that, yes, a little bit more, and then I can take birth again and again and again and again, yes, and isn't it wonderful, isn't it fabulous, yeah. So that's what the shastras are warning against, is trying to maintain this mentality. So, the problem comes here is that emotionally we're attached to the idea, and the emotional part's not a bad thing, again, if it's connected to Krishna. But if it's not connected to Krishna, it begins the same problem. Because what is happening here, if we look at, couple of ways to look at the mechanics of this. One is that the ultimate point of something is Krishna's pleasure. So that means his desire. It's not just I'm doing something to please Krishna. Because otherwise then I do what I like and then Krishna should be happy with that. That's one way of approaching it. That's called an acquaintance. Right? We should have this really, really straight. When it starts with us, it's about what we want to do and we connect it to Krishna, that's called an acquaintance. I know the person, you know, I know the name, I interact with them, but I interact on my terms. Friends adjust for the other person. So that means the Icha Shakti, that means it's Krishna's desire. Krishna's Icha. What he wants, how he wants it done, why he wants it done, where he wants it done, what's the mood, what's the paraphernalia, what's the methods. That's what the spiritual world is about. Everybody there is functioning on that platform. Then you have the kriya, which is the activity, and the jnana, which will be the forms and attitude in which that will be done. Right? And so that's why in the spiritual world, they don't focus on these secondary aspects so much. It means they do to the degree that it's in line with what Krishna wants, but it's not about the mechanics of it. They don't get enamored by the mechanics of it. You know what I'm saying? You get out the fancy car, you know, like that, you start up the engine, you know, you rev it a few times, everyone gets these big grins on their face, you know, hair standing on end, you know, they just, wow, like this, like that. Has it done anything? What's a car for? So we're going somewhere. But here they're just revving it up and everyone's, ooh, because we're attracted by the secondary aspects. It should be, wow, it got me from L.A. to Las Vegas in 2 hours and 45 minutes. Now, that's a good car. Now, that has some meaning. Right? But, at the same time, it's why I get from L.A. to Las Vegas in 2 hours and 45 minutes. Right? That's the real point. So, is that pleasing to Krishna? Is it doing something for Krishna? You had a program there, some other things came up that you had to take care of for Krishna, and then you had very short time, so therefore you got there in 2 hours and 45 minutes and were able to attend the program, so then it was good. But it was just about the speed, then, hey. You understand? So, in the spiritual world, they don't make this mistake. So, what we're doing, the mistake we're making is taking out Krishna's desire and putting our own into that place. So, the Icha Shakti is our own desire. But we're comfortable using Krishna's jnana and kriya shaktis to, you know, the forms and activities so that we get the benefit and we fulfill our desire. But now how can we take Krishna's energies and apply them to ourselves without Krishna? That's cheating. That's why Prahlad Maharaj is saying, as soon as you start this process, you'll be miserable. Now, no, but sometimes, maybe here and there, it's... No, it's just, it won't work. Eventually it has to, because we're cheating. We're not following the process properly. So when we follow it properly, then we take it. We connect it to Krishna. We see, what does Krishna want in this situation? What would Krishna like from this situation? What does Guru Sadhu and Shastra say on this? Not my mental concoction of what I'd like. That can be included, but it has to be in a line. There's a priority here. So then pleasing Krishna, that's the first thing, and then from there it goes down. comes into mind, then Krishna being pleased, then he being the total of pleasure, we're being 1/10,000th of that, we will then be happy. But if we try to do it separately, the amount that we're working with is not at all enough. You know? It's like I get out one of these, you know, micro, you know, droppers, and it says, wow, it's hot today, and you know, you must be thirsty, would you like something to drink? Yeah, yeah, you know, I got this great drink, you know, and all that, oh, wow, okay. And I get out the dropper, you know, and I give you, you know, as little as I can, you know, like, enjoy, you know. So it's not going to get us very far, right? Does that make sense? So this is why, mechanically, it can't work. But then how to apply this? Because there's all kinds of obstacles. So Bhakti Natakura explains that when we're going through this, through the process of reasoning, right, the central feature will be the mind, the intelligence, the false ego. Now, of course, what you're going to reason with is what you've acquired from the senses. And to apply something, you're going to apply it through the senses. So that part we're going to not discuss at this point, but that's there. So the first stage is, having gained things from the senses, the mind is going to deal with it. It's going to, according to your previous samskaras or impressions, you're going to say, this is a good situation, this is not a good situation. Good means I can get something from it, bad means I can't get something from it. Right? Then I'm going to analyze it with the intelligence, the situation, what I can do to get something, and then according to my identity, my ego, I'm going to try to apply it. Right? Very simple formula. Now, in this, where do the weaknesses come up? Intelligence is going to analyze what it does. So it's going to be the same, right? The mind's going to accept and reject. The ego's going to be, okay, here's what I play in the process. This is me, right? Now, according to what's explained, then the mind is the central feature of our connection with Maya. This is where the first problem starts, is that Maya is going to deal with your mind and the modes of nature. She doesn't bother with the intelligence, because lust can overcome intelligence, no problem, so why even make the endeavor, right? Maya's a woman, she's smart, they don't waste the time, right? So just go for the mind, go for the emotions, the needs, this and that, and then bingo. So that's where Maya catches us, is with the mind. We'll say, oh, the senses, no, but the mind is first. Senses just are machines. They just do what they do. Now, next to that, we have the intelligence. Shastra also mentions the intelligence is the closest thing to the super soul. So that means our connection with spiritual life is through intelligence, right? Therefore, Buddhi Yoga, the yoga of intelligence. So that means if the intelligence controls the mind, then the mind will accept and reject based on Krishna conscious principles rather than on Maya. Right? Now, that's all well and good, but where is the decision made? Right, it's made by the mind. It's going to be made based on your identity, your ego. So if our ego is, I'm a controlling enjoyer, I'm from the West, I'm this, I'm that, I'm intelligent, I'm rich, I'm famous, I'm, you know, an academic, or I'm a businessman, or I'm just one of the local duffers, like that, you know, if the point is that's where you're going to make a decision. So unless your identity is I'm servant of Krishna, then Maya will get you. Because only when you identify with Krishna, then you can take advantage of the intelligence. So without the intelligence, you can't control the mind, and without true identity, you can't control the intelligence. So when I identify as servant of Krishna, then I will take advantage of the intelligence situation, and with that, then the mind can make an appropriate decision based on Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, the mind will always make it based on sense gratification, guaranteed. You don't have to worry. No anxiety. Right? The mind left to its own will choose sense gratification. You don't have to worry about that. So only when it's controlled by the intelligence, and the intelligence is then brought in line with I'm servant of Krishna, then the process works. You do that, then that endeavor that's made creates new samskaras or new impressions where you look at the situation, you start to see it connected to Krishna instead of just connected with Maya. That's called mixed devotional service. And you continue that process until at one point all the impressions are pure. Then one naturally is situated in devotional service. That's why it says the advanced devotees, they never see Maya. They never see this thing because the impressions they have are always about devotional service because they identify as a servant of Krishna. So they're able to use the intelligence to control the mind. In this case, then the mind now is a good friend. But other than that, then it's not very friendly. Not to the soul. Like that. Does that make sense? So, that's why it says that as soon as you take up this process of trying to enjoy the senses, you will be miserable. Because it is not in line with what makes Krishna happy. So, what it's saying is not changing what we're doing. In other words, if we're following the duties that we're given, we don't have to change anything. If we're not following our duties or making our whole thing up, maybe that you have to make some adjustments. But the principle of it can remain. Right? That's the beauty of the Vedic formula, is the forms and activities you're using can naturally meet with Krishna's desire. That is pious activity. Pious activity in the mode of goodness, or what's recommended by Shastra, means these activities can be easily engaged to fulfill Krishna's desire. If you give those up, they're not for fulfilling Krishna's desire, they're only for ourselves. So always remember that when we identify ourselves not as devotees, as something connected with the bodily conception, and then from that try to get benefit from it. It's not a good philosophy, it's not an advance, it's not an intellectual philosophy. You know what I'm saying? It's like if I take some garbage and I put it in a really, really nice bag, you know, like that, I get myself a nice Gucci bag and stick it, you know, put the, what do you call it, that kind of cello paper and then tie it up with a nice ribbon, put it in the bag, you know, put the thing on, tie a ribbon around the two strings and all that. Is it better? Now is it good? No? You're comfortable walking down the street with this garbage. Right? No, it's still garbage. So, if it's not connected to Krishna, it is garbage. Right? Straw on the street. No value. Nobody wants it. Like that. So, if we're performing our duties, that's why the Vedic talks about that. And then we'll say, oh no, but these won't get, because it said, hey, still, if you only have the Jnana and Kriya Shaktis, you still won't get Krishna. You still won't get Prema. Does that mean we don't use them? No, it means we add in Krishna's Icha. Because we're saying, oh, we don't have to use the Vedic systems of Kriya and Jnana. We'll use the modern systems. And I'll still replace Krishna's desire with mine. And somehow or another, that'll be great. All it is we're a devotee who's thinking purely like a carny. What's the difference? Mechanically speaking, no. The Vedic is there because in order of goodness, you don't have to change it. That's why it says you don't have to change. The person's a grihastha, he has his job, he's doing his things, he's making money, he's taking care of the family. He doesn't have to change that. He simply has to add, I'm doing this for Krishna. So therefore, how would Krishna, if this family belongs to Krishna, I belong to Krishna, how to take care of this family myself according to Krishna's desire? All I have to do is change the mentality. I have to change from my desire to Krishna's desire. That's all I have to do. Right? So that's the point. You don't have to change anything. And even if we're not following the Vedic, you're following modern things, in the beginning you don't need to change because you have to understand what the principle of it, because that's what you can give to Krishna. But if you're bewildered by the secondary forms and actions and attached to those, you will be held back. You will not get to pure devotional service. You get stuck in the Narthamidriti at the third stage. The third stage is, well, you know, I could do, you know, renounce everything, you know, try to connect everything to Krishna, but at the same time, Krishna says, do all these things, commit. So we're trying to maintain our sense gratification. We never get to the point of actually advanced devotional service. So that means we never get to the Madhyama platform. Right? Now that means in a specific area, because people may advance in one area to the Madhyama platform, but another area not. So the point is we try to make it steady that everything is connected. We make that endeavor. Right? Okay. Any questions or comments on this? No, yes. To the mic. See, relationships based on Krishna consciousness, then that itself, that aspect won't change. But the secondary forms will naturally change anyway. As we get older, as we think environments are unjust, then there'll always be some transformation. So the only thing that's steady in relationships is also what's connected to Krishna. Right? Engaging the senses will always be temporary. But now it's a matter if the benefit we'll get from it will be temporary or the benefit will be eternal. So engage the senses in Krishna's service, the benefit we get is eternal, though the appreciation we got from it is temporary. Does that make sense? Right? In the spiritual world, because then everything's transcendental there, that happiness you gain remains. It doesn't increase, it just remains. It doesn't go away like here. So when you do something else to please Krishna, then more happiness comes, then you have both of them now. You do it again, then you have three, then you do it again, you have four. It maintains. So here, each one you do, it drops off. So that's why there's that drive to keep doing. We're trying to please ourselves. But if you please Krishna, then it just keeps going and it gets better and better. We're doing it just trying to make up the lack. But in the spiritual world, it's just making it better and better. Does that make sense? So if that's the approach, then the discussion of the relationship has some meaning. Because otherwise, in the material platform, relationships will always change. But you can, according to the element of piety, that people work, perform their duties, then you can maintain relationships at least for this lifetime. There'll be adjustments in them, the different things that are of value will be another thing. You know, before it was like running around the world, but now it's just sitting in your house and with your, you know, coffee and donuts, and that's it, you know, every day at, you know, 8 in the morning. And that's it, you know, so, but the point is it changes. You know what I'm saying? That will change. But having that commitment and all that, then if you're pious, it shouldn't change. So if it does change, it means something is not, there's some form or action within the relationship that's not there. So then, like you said, it will be shallow. There's some shallowness there. Right? Maybe not in all aspects, but that one point is weak, so then what is it? But you have another aspect of weakness, as you're discussing in the class, is that maybe you're doing everything properly. So there's no fault in the form or endeavor, but it may be you're doing it for your own pleasure rather than for Krishna's pleasure. Now, if you do it for your own pleasure, that would be the lowest. You do it for that other person's pleasure, that would be higher. If you do it for Krishna's pleasure, then it will include the other two. That's the best. So in context of what we're discussing here, it's more the intent, because otherwise someone may perfectly be doing their duties, and still something breaks, because one expects to be materially happy when you can't be. And so therefore, then naturally, because it's about myself, I will blame the other person. Right? Instead of, I'm at fault because I'm sitting on a material platform. Does that make sense? So, yeah. It's okay? Yeah. Something else, okay. It's coming.
Hi, Mr. Maharaj. Thank you very much for the lectures. I was thinking about you were speaking about the happiness which comes when Krishna is pleased. So I just wonder what kind of happiness is that? Does that come in the form of like material rewards or just some kind of peace in the heart or ecstasy? Or how does that manifest when Krishna is pleased?
Which one are you looking for?
I think it's important to have some kind of material basic minimum to be like a secondary which supports the primary. And,
okay, but does that make you happy? See, if we have facility, if the elements coming from the Jnana Shakti, they can only give us the idea of security. And because of that security, then there's a peacefulness. But the point is having them isn't what generates. It's only results only come when you make something. That's the problem nowadays, that we've fallen into, one, it's a natural trap, because it's the things you have that you can do things with to get the results. But in the modern advertising and all that, they don't want you to think too much, right? So therefore, they want you to buy something, because then when you have it, then you'll be satisfied, you'll be happy, right? The guy is sitting there, you know, with his fancy suit and his, you know, shoes, and, you know, they're kind of leaning back on the hood, and he's got his feet crossed, and, you know, he's got his champagne, but, you know, he's got the car, but what's he doing with the car? You know, so they're saying, just having this car, you'll be happy. But the point is you can't get any happiness unless it does something. So this whole idea, I have so much stuff, I should be happy, we're frustrated. Because we're not. It's only when you apply those things you have, you can get a result. But having a result also doesn't guarantee happiness, because happiness is on the mental platform. So that means only if there's a relationship with Krishna, then having that thing will actually give you happiness that will last. Otherwise, you'll get a moment of happiness that I remove the pain of not having it, but I only bring it to the neutral stage. So therefore, that peace and all that we consider great, because that's as far as we actually ever get. All we ever do in the material world is remove the pain of not having it. So the point of ecstasy is that we're not tasting, we can only taste that in Krishna consciousness. So those moments here and there, that's the real point, that's the happiness you can get. Because you have so much. Do you have anything? The Tsar of Russia. Now, did he have any facilities? Right? We would have to agree the guy had some pretty good facilities. You know, on par, if not better than the other, you know, royalty in Europe. You know, huge players like that. So, did it give him happiness? Right? I think they found him at the bottom of a well. You know? I mean, it was his well, it was a private well, no one bothered him for, you know, whatever it is, 70 years, you know? So, you know, you could say, yeah, hey, well, that was peaceful, you know? You know what I'm saying? So this idea is that, no, if I had this, see, this is what I'm talking about, we're holding on to, no, but if I had these things from the Jnana Kriya, then we have to have these as a minimum. No. The point is Icha generates those things. Those don't generate Icha. Desire is not generated from it. We get a desire to enjoy for ourselves. Or if I had any of those, then we get a desire to do something for Krishna, that's fine. But the idea is that I have it will make me secure. Where's the security? You know what I'm saying? Where's the security? Because in the material world being temporary, everything goes. One of the nicest houses I saw in Calcutta is gone now. Amazing house. Huge house that had, from one building to, like now you hear about those advertisements for that place in Calcutta, that there's a couple of buildings and the rooftop is connected so you can walk across, it's got pools, you've seen those advertisements. This house is probably from, you know, early last century. But it already had that kind of stuff. So this was like way ahead. No one in the world was thinking of this. And these had all the roofs connected by these wonderful bridges and sitting places on the top and these gardens and pools and ponds. And it was an amazing thing. But someone died in that house, and so everybody freaked out, and maybe it was a murder or something like that. So no one wanted to buy the house, even though it was the best house I'd ever seen in Calcutta. And so then it just was getting more and more and more dilapidated. No one's ever using it. And until finally, they found it would be really nice to have a road at that point. And so there's a road that just goes through the property, and the whole thing's gone. So best house in Calcutta, where is it now? So that's the whole point, is that if we put our faith in the material things, we'll always be frustrated. If we put into it that, well, how I can use this for Krishna, then it has some meaning. But if we say that, no, I need some basic security, then what's basic? Right? In Calcutta, on the side of the road, you know, you have a few bricks you've collected, there's a fence behind you, you found yourself a tarpaulin, you got yourself a couple of old tires you can toss on the roof so the tarpaulin doesn't blow away. Hey, you're good. You're not on the street. You know? So that's the point, is that we'll say that's secure, but, you know, here, oh, unless we have all this and that and so many things are not secure, but even if you have it, it's never enough. You know, so it'll never be enough.
Of course, I also want ecstasy, but that is...
Vomit and then you eat it. That's the term. Right? So instead of introducing the real culture that Prabhupada gave us, we throw it out and then take to the modern. And then that supports, no, having us, all this, is all right, you don't have to be showing us, because we're still thinking in Mayavad. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty. We have to change the way we're thinking. Otherwise, if we don't, we'll go on being, because as long as we think of it from that point of security and those things, we will be unhappy. We think of it as duty. Just like when Rupa Goswami came, how you break up your money. Was there anything put aside for emergency? 50% you give in charity, 25% you use, 25% you put away for emergency. Right? And that's for a big emergency. Within the 25 that you have, you take a quarter of that and put some away for day-to-day expenses that you don't expect. You know, something comes up a little bit more, you drop something, you have to replace it, this and that. So Rupa Goswami said that we're doing it not because if I have money, I'll be secure. No, I'm following Rupa Goswami's instructions. That's where the security comes. In either case, you have the money. The one you think the money will make me secure. The other one you think following the directions of the acharyas, that will make me secure. Does that make sense? So it's not there's no question of not taking care. It's just that why we're taking care, that's the point of discussion. Does that make sense? Yes. Otherwise, if we can't figure it out, we have to end. It's actually 9 o'clock.
Lord Chaitanya is non-different from Krishna.
What's for Krishna?
Lord Chaitanya is non-different from Krishna.
Lord Chaitanya is non-different from Krishna, yes.
When we're chanting the mantra of Krishna Chaitanya from Nityananda,
right.
We're quickly achieving with.
Yes.
But for some reason, we don't chant Krishna Chaitanya with mantra more than we chant Hare Krishna mantra. Can we chant this Panchatattva Pranam mantra more often than we chant Hare Krishna mantra and thus become purified quicker?
The whole point is, are we chanting this mantra just to become happy? Right? We're chanting to please Krishna. So Krishna is Lord Chaitanya, what does he chant? He chants Hare Krishna. So trying to please Krishna, that's how we'll become happy. Just trying to taste happiness ourselves, and then therefore ignoring Lord Chaitanya's example, what's the point? Okay? Okay, so it ends here. Gajaraj Shimad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Samadhi Thabhaktivinda Ki, Jainatai Gaurapnima.